preach on probably the verse, if one verse in the Bible, for me, that's affected me maybe more than any other verse as far as my service in the Lord. It's found in Jude chapter 1. And I quote it a lot. But it's kind of, it just speaks to me. It speaks to me. And start in Jude, we'll start in Jude chapter number 1. And we'll pick it up. Verse 21. We'll go ahead and start verse 21. Jude 1:21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Verse 22, "And of some having compassion, of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." And I want to preach a little bit this morning on making a difference. Making a difference. And that's what I want to do. I want to make a difference in this world. And there's 7 billion people on the planet today. And very few people will ever come through this world and they'll make a difference. Most people which come in this world and they'll live and die without making much of a difference to their lives. And let's be honest, you and I, as far as the world's standards, we're not going to make much of a difference. We're going to leave, and there'll be a few people when God takes us home that'll miss us and mourn. But the world will keep going. Most of us here, nobody here is going to find a cure for cancer. They're not going to write your name in some history book. You're not going to write a great book. You're not going to be a politician. You're going to serve it all. There are very few people going to know you come and gone. And really, just as far as the world's thinking and humanly speaking, you'll make very little difference to this world. But let me tell you, as a child of God, if we believe what we believe about the Bible and we do what God tells us to do, we can make a difference. And not only that, we can make a difference far greater than anything this world could do. Most people simply die and nothing ever happens. But there, I want to say tonight, this morning, as a child of God, you and I can make a difference. We can leave this world making a difference. We can make more of a difference to this world than Donald Trump will ever make. We'll make more difference in this world than Congress can make. If Donald Trump cuts taxes, builds a wall, all the things they say, even if he does that, what is that compared to the soul of a man? Jesus said, "What's the profit of a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And listen, this morning, make no mistake about it, you and I stand in the gap between heaven and hell, between people, and you and I, just like Jude says, we can make a difference pulling them out of the fire. Making a difference. And I want to make a difference for the Lord. When I leave this earth, I want a few people to know at least that I came this world and I tried to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my goal in life, to make a difference for Him. And I want to give you a few things about that this morning out of our text. First thing I want you to notice in verse number 21, if you want to make a difference, I want to see the first thing it says. It says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." I want to say, if you're going to make a difference this morning, I want to tell you where it's going to have to start. It'll have to start, keep yourselves in the love of God. And I want to tell you this morning, that is not an easy thing to do. Because I want to tell you, the world this morning and everything about it will try to rob the love of God and steal the love of God and take your testimony. And if you're going to keep yourself in the love of God, you're going to have to work at it, and you'll have to work at it hard this morning. Take your Bible. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. If you want to make a difference, I'm going to tell you where it's got to start. You're going to have to keep yourselves in the love of God. And that's going to be one of the hardest things you'll ever do in this world. Because everything about this world tries to get you away from God and rob your testimony and take you away from the love of God. And if you're going to keep yourselves in the love of God, I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, you'll have to work at it. Amen. It'll be a job. I've been saved for 43 years, and it's a work. It's easy to get saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's easy to get saved and bow and ask Jesus Christ to save you. But I'm going to tell you, after you get off those above your knees and you get saved and you get in that walk, it's hard to keep yourselves in the love of God. Because everything around you is going to try to get you off track. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, I didn't write this. This is the Word of God. This is what God said. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Isn't that plain? You know what this world will try to do? It'll try to get the love of God out of you. It'll try to rob that fellowship with you. John Wesley, who lived in the 1700s, said this. He said, all that cools my love for Christ is the world. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, he said, I'm crucified. But he said, though the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, let me tell you, my friend, the world will rob you. That song, I Must Tell Jesus. Oh, how the world with its evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I want to say you got to keep yourselves in the love of God. Because all around the world, like politics, media, pleasure, sports, everything around you, if you're not careful, I'll tell you, it'll get your eyes off the Lord and get your keep yourselves in the love of God. It can rob you that quick. Getting saved is easy. But I'm telling you, keeping yourself in the love of God and walking with God is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. Brother Ruckman, you've heard me mention him. He went home to be with the Lord. He is 94 years old. He wrote 350 books, read the Bible through over 800 times, knew God better than anybody I've ever been around. And right before he died, a few months before he died, they sent some questions and asked him. And one of the questions somebody asked him, this is a man pastored 50-something years, taught a Bible school for years, an evangelist for years. I mean, you would think he had it made. They asked him, first question, what's the hardest thing you've ever done in life? That was the first question. What's the hardest thing you ever done in life? He said, the hardest part of my life for me has been to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ and remember that I must give account of myself to God. He said, the hardest thing in this life for me is to keep my eyes upon Jesus. That man didn't even have a TV. He didn't own a TV. Read the Bible through over 800 times. But still, it was hard, I'm going to tell you, to keep yourself in the love of God. It'll be a job. It'll be a battle all your life. Getting saved is easy. Take your Bible, look at 1 John chapter 2, where you're at. How in the world are you doing? I'm going to tell you, the only way in the world you'll ever keep yourselves in the love of God is to keep your nose in this book. There's no other way to do it outside. I keep telling you it over and over, and some of you still haven't got it. I've had people leave this church because I preach over and over and over. Read the Bible, read the Bible. Brother Stan Scott, a good friend of mine, I was talking to him the other day. He said he has some people leave his church because he preaches, memorize the Bible, memorize the Bible. They got mad and left. Something's wrong, brother, when we don't want to get in the Bible, don't want to memorize it, don't want to read it. Because if we don't, that's all you got, brother. That's all you got's the Word of God. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Where we're at, verse number 5. Says this. So how do you keep yourself in the love of God? Here's the answer right here. 1 John 2, 5. But whoso keepeth His Word, in Him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. So how do you know to keep yourself in the love of God? You got to keep your nose and your heart in that book and turn off that boob tube and turn off Fox and turn off ABC and turn off NBC and turn that stuff off and spend time in the Word of God. There's no plan B. Miss Martha, she's smiling because she knows what I'm talking about. Every time I call that lady on the phone about something, you know what she's doing? Reading that Bible. That right there is a worn out Bible, I can tell you right now. You know what? If you don't get in the Bible, everything else in your Christian life is going to be a waste of time. You got to start there in that Bible. I want to say the first thing, you want to make a difference? You're going to have to keep yourselves in the love of God. Because the love of God is the only way you'll ever make a difference for the Lord in this world. I want to say the second thing in that verse, it says this. Verse number 22, it said of some having compassion. First thing you've got to do is keep yourselves in the love of God, then you've got to have compassion. Compassion. You say, what does that mean? That's the thing that you care and love for. That word passion means the thing that you love and you care. The Son of Man had a passion. And that word compassion is that thing you love so much, you love it more than your own selves. That's what it means. You know what it means? It means your grandchildren. It means the things you love. I heard a preacher this week, Miss Liz, he had a great illustration about your children versus your grandchildren. Because I have my kids, my daughters say, well, Dad, you never let us get away with what the grandkids get away. And I'd always say, well, that's called the grandkids. But his preacher, the other this week, and Brother Ben heard him say it, he said, my kids were under the law, but my grandkids are under grace. that's about the truth to it, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing like those grandkids. We have a compassion for our grandkids. I love to be around my grandkids. I had this fellow I worked with, Frank. I'm giving you Frank. Frank was one of my best friends I've ever had, worked with in 20 years. He went home to be with the Lord when he was 55. Died awful early, a big old guy, way overweight. I tried to get Frank on the treadmill a few times and lose some weight, get back in shape. Finally, his body wore out. But he had a little granddaughter, Kayla. Man, he loved that granddaughter. One granddaughter, Miss Liz. Boy, he'd do anything for that little girl. And I remember one day he came in, he was telling us about, what is that, the Wiggles, those people that used to dance, is that who they called, they'd run around, you know. And his granddaughter liked the Wiggles. And he was talking about, he said he was kind of tired when he came in that day. I said, what's going on? He said, man, I've been running around the house dancing this morning with the Wiggles. His granddaughter was there. I said, you were dancing with the Wiggles? He said, yeah. He said, me and Kayla, we were out there dancing, running around the house with the Wiggles. And he said this, he told a bunch of us in a meeting, he said, I've never danced in my life. He said, I've never been on a dance floor in my life. If my wife told me I had to go on a dance floor, he said, I'd divorce her. I wouldn't get on no dance floor. He said, well, that little granddaughter, he said, I'll do about anything. He said, man, I'll get out there and dance a jig. You say, what is that? That's having compassion, is what that is. One time he worked for me. He had to go to the hospital. He was in the hospital. Went in there today, and his wife told me, said he's in the had to go to the hospital. He's in the hospital. I said, what happened? She said he fell. This guy, he's huge. He was about 300 pounds. And he wouldn't flab 300 pounds. He is solid as that pulpit. If you bumped into him, it's like hitting a pulpit. Kind of guy. One of the nicest guys you ever met in your whole life. I mean, he'd give you anything, Frank would. I said, Donna, what happened? Donna worked there. And she said, well, every morning Kayla would come by his little granddaughter and they'd drop her off and they'd take her to school and sit with him. And that morning before work, he was sitting out in the swing with her, Miss Martha. And they were sitting in the swing rocking. And Kayla at this time was about 2 years old, near their little swing. And he got a dog, a pit bull named Puppy. And Puppy's a big puppy. He hates dogs, but somebody, his son, brought this dog and left it there, and he fell in love with this little dog puppy. Big dog then. But he's out in the, she said he's out in the swing, swinging in his little swing out in the yard. And about that time, little Kayla's in there, his little granddaughter, they're just swinging, have a good time. And she looks over there and she said, poo poo, Papa, poo poo, Papa. She had to poo poo. And she said he picked up Kayla by the arm, he started running in the house. Nana! 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 That's what they called her grandmother. And he's running that little girl in his arm. Nana! 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 And old Puppy's running along right with him. And Puppy gets tangled up in his legs. And 300 pounds hit the ground. And he has a driveway, it's asphalt down there with all these rocks that stick up. You know, it's not a smooth one. And when he fell, he wrapped his arms around that little baby and hit that asphalt. Tore him up. Put him in the hospital. His arms were all tore up. All there. His legs were all tore up when he came to work. He had to wear shorts for a while coming to work, which he hated people to see his legs. He never wore shorts in his life either. We was talking in a meeting about it. And he was telling us about it. He said, yeah. He said, I was running. And he said, and I grabbed that little baby. But he said, I wanted to make sure that nothing happened to that little baby. Wasn't worried about him. You know what that is? That's having compassion. That's what it's talking about. You want to make a difference? I'm going to tell you, you got to keep yourself in the love of God. And you got to have a compassion for souls. You got to have a compassion for people. Lucian and Kathy, they'd go down to the homeless. They did it for 8 years, man. They'd go down there and they worked all day, Brother Don. They were hard workers, man. They worked all the time. And Brother Chris and some of you been there, they'd drive up dragging with that trailer, all that stuff they'd drag out. And two times a week, they'd go there and feed those homeless people and preach to them and weep with them. You say, how? Why did they keep doing that? Because they had a compassion. That's why they're doing it right now. They kick them out, but they're on the street still doing it. Didn't even faze them. They keep going. Why Tommy Tillman goes down here and goes to that leper colony and leaves his family here, daughter's passed away, a grandson that passed away, and keeps going. You say, why? He's got a compassion. He was here a few while back, about a year ago, y'all remember. And the doctors told him, they said, if you go back there, you'll die. Remember that? He just had he has 14 heart stents, cancer, all those problems. He's 88 years old. And they said, if you go back to there, you're going to die. And he's normally pretty calm, calm up here. But he's got talking, he got tears in his eyes and that compassion. He said, I've got to go back. You say, why? Because he has a compassion for those people. Years ago, I remember heard about Dr. Frankie Shaver. He's a famous author years ago, Christian author, went home to be with the Lord about 15 years ago. He wrote a great book, Whatever Happened to the Human Race. He was what they call a contemplative, or an apologist kind of author. And Francis Shaver, I heard one time, he was at a meeting there with a bunch of these theologians, and he was a top dog, Francis Shaver was. And he was there with this big meeting, all these theologians, and they were sitting there. It was a black tie deal, man. They're all dressed up in tuxes and all that. I heard about it. And he's sitting there, and they're all at this restaurant. And one of the men looked over to him and said, Dr. Shaver, what is your opinion of the heathen that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is your opinion of the heathen that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Rabbi Shafiar, who was there, said Dr. Shaver looked up at him. He said his bottom lip started shaking. And he said a few minutes, he dropped his head and down in his hands and began to weep. Oh my God! Oh my God, save him! You know what that is? Having a compassion. You got a compassion for souls. You want to make a difference? I want to tell you, you got to keep yourselves in the love of God. I want to tell you something else about that verse. The Bible says, you know, and it said, verse 23, and others say with fear. You've got to have a fear of God in your life. You've got to have fear. Fear is one of the greatest motives in the human body. And that fear is not their fear. That's the fear that you and I have of souls going to hell. That verse says, for you and I with fear, save them, pull it out of the fire. Because we fear that fire. Our fear for others, it ought to make a difference in our life. You know what I'm fearful of this morning? I'm fearful for my grandchildren. Me and this Jan was talking about it last Sunday night, or Thursday, maybe on Thursday. We're talking about this world that her grandchildren has to live. She's talking about how she can ride her bike around the neighborhood, hitchhike, how we can do all these things and there was no problems. Nowadays there's so much crime and wickedness now. It's fearful, our grandchildren. Hey, listen, you make a difference when you have some fear, the right fear for those things out there. And others with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Fear is one of the greatest motives. It'll make a difference. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 11 first. I want to say this morning, I want to make a difference. And the Bible says, and some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I want to say you need to keep yourselves in the love of God. You need to have a compassion, and you need to have some fear. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 says this about Noah. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse number 7 about Noah. It says, by faith Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Look at it. Being warned of things not seen yet, moved with fear.
moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, to the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for over 100 years, the Bible says. 100 years. 100 years, Brother Ben. He went out in the woods and got the lumber and took it and cut the tree and hewed that tree and built an ark that was 3 times longer than a football field by hand. You say, why in the world did he do it? Because he was moved with fear. Because he knew the judgment of God was coming. And that kept that old boy going. He preached for 100 years. You know how many people he got saved in his ark, Miss Rachel? He got 8. Didn't have much of a church, did he, Miss Martha? He didn't have much. He didn't have much to show. But I'm going to tell you something. Noah made a difference, brethren. If it wasn't for the man to Noah, there wouldn't even be a world here right now. It was Noah that God put the faith in for this whole world. And it said he was moved with fear and preached 100 years. And got 8 people in, it's only his family. But there was fear. Listen, the most fearful and frightening thing in this world, if you remotely believe the Bible, is that place called hell in the Bible. The Bible says about a place called hell, Jesus Christ says about that rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Send Lazarus, they can dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew chapter 7, he said, cut their hand off, cut your foot off, pull your eye. It'd be better for thee to go through this life blind, halt, and maimed than to be cast into hell fire. Over and over and over and over. You and I ought to have a fear of hell and fear of people dying and going to hell. It ought to move us like it did Noah. You want to make a difference? I'm going to tell you, you're going to have compassion for souls. But there's going to have to be a fear of a place called hell. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Noah moved with fear. You know why he built that ark? You know why he preached for 100 years? You know what he went through? Because he feared the judgment of God. The judgment of God at that time was a flood. You know what the judgment of God right now is? A place called hell. And let me make no mistake about it. Matthew 7 verse 13. Wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Most people you see, most of your family, most of your friends, I'm going to tell you tonight, this morning, according to the Word of God, they're going to wake up in hell one day. According to that Bible. If there's not been a change in their life, brethren, I'm going to tell you something's wrong. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There ought to be a fear of hell in our lives. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We ought to be trying to pull people out of the fire. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says this. Paul's writing, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Look what it says. We persuade men. You know why Paul tried to get people saved? You know why he tried to persuade man? You know why he preached the gospel? Knowing the terror of the Lord. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. On and on and on. I want to say this morning, if you want to make a difference, there's going to have to be somewhere a fear of hell in your life that you're afraid of people are going to hell. General William Booth said this. He said, the best education I could give anyone is to take someone to the very gates of hell and feel the fire and hear the cries and wails and weeping of the damned souls. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you're going to make a difference, you're going to have to keep yourselves in the love of God, having compassion. There's got to be a fear. And not only that, I'll tell you something else I see there. There's not only a fear, but you got to have a vision. When I say a vision, I'm not seeing something like the charismatics talking about. I'm talking about seeing what God sees. Look at that verse. Verse 22. And some having compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Nobody in this building's ever seen the fires of hell. That's what he's talking about. None of us saw it. We haven't seen it. It's a vision. It's what we see. The Bible says, well, we look not on the things which are temporary, but the things which are eternal. You and I, somewhere we got to get in our lives, friend, where when you look at that body, when you go through Walmart and you see the cashier, the doctor, you got to look beyond that body of flesh and bones and realize there's an eternal soul inside there. And that eternal soul is going to spend eternity in a lake of fire, or they're going to spend eternity in heaven, and you and I can make a difference. Until we get to that place in life, you know what you'll do? You'll go through the cashier line without saying a word, without giving a tract. You'll go to the doctor's office without saying a word. You'll go to the grocery store without saying a word or giving a gospel tract. You'll just go through life till you get that vision of them people going to hell. You realize everybody you talk to, everybody you come in contact, they all during the day, they're going to heaven one day or they're going to hell. And you and I can make a difference. We need a vision. We need to see what God sees. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 where Moses was. Or Noah, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Too many times, you know what we do? Our eyes is too fastened on this world too much. Our eyes are focused on the world and the things of this world. We're worried about politics and sports and cable and news. Hey, brother, that stuff means nothing in eternity. It'll mean nothing. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7, we saw this verse by faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Move with fear. It never rained them to that point. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 that God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. It said there was not a man to till the ground, but there went a mist from the earth and watered the whole thing. It never had a drop of rain. Noah never seen a drop of rain, but it said, being warned of things not seen, he moved with fear. Noah had to look out there and see a vision. He had to see what God saw and what God told him and warned him. You and I have to get beyond this little world that we see. You heard O saying a lot of people never see beyond their nose. A lot of Christians never see beyond their nose. Our eyes are fashioned too much and addicted to this temporal, physical world. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. You and I have never seen hell. We've never been able to pull anybody literally out of the fire like it's talking about. But if we believe that Bible, we ought to know it. We ought to see it. We ought to have that vision. The Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to see what God sees. Too many times we don't. We're so fixed on the things of this world. But everybody here in this building, I believe, everybody in this building, if you were walking across the road over there and you looked across the street, and there was a house on fire, and there were people in that house going, "Help! Get me out! Get me out!" And you could go over there and open that door and let them out. I believe everybody in this building would be decent enough to go over there and open that door and let them out. I do. I saw on TV years ago about this old redneck fella. He was an old country guy. He was about in his 20s. I'll never forget him. And he went by, was riding by, this house was on fire, and he went into that house and rescued the people and got them out and got them out of the fire. And he had this old Deere, John Deere cap on. I can still see him. Had this old scraggly beard on him, an old kind of old country boy, lanky guy. He's standing there, and one of the ladies that was interviewing him said, "How does it feel to be a hero?" He said, "Shucks, I ain't no hero. I just did whatever any decent person would have done." You know what any decent Christian would do? If you believe that Bible, you'll try to get them out of the fire, won't you? Are you going to let them burn up? You want to meet that cashier one day, maybe at the judgment, that cashier's in hell, say, "Hey, why didn't you tell me when you came through my line?" Or that friend, or that grandson, or that granddaughter that once said, "Hey, why didn't you tell me?" We do believe that book, don't we? That's what it says. And it says we can make a difference. Because there's people in this world, just like that verse says, Randy Mills made a difference in my life. That boy pulled me out of hell, what he did. I didn't want to listen to him. I didn't want nothing to do with that guy when he started witnessing to me. I'd curse him out. You know what that guy did?
He just kept going on. He had compassion. He had a fear. And he kept pulling me out of that fire. And I'll tell you what, I thank God he did. You know what I want to try to do? I want to try to pull him out of that fire. That's why I'm trying to make a prayer booth out here. That's why we do the signs. That's why we pass out tracts. That's why we got get out of hell free cards. You say why? We're trying to pull them out of the fire. We're trying to make a difference. I want to go through that line wherever I'm at. Give them a gospel tract. I'm at that doctor's office. I want to make sure everybody there gets a gospel tract when I'm in there. I want to make sure they get a warning. I don't want to leave that place. And somebody says, well, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? I want to tell them. I'm glad Randy Mills told me. I want to say this morning, you want to make a difference? You got to keep yourself in the love of God. You got to stay in that book, stay in that book, stay in that book. You ought to get up in the morning reading it. You ought to read it during the day. You ought to read it at night. It ought to be so much of your life. It ought to be worn out like Miss Martha's over there. It ought to be just a worn out Bible. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You got to have a compassion. You got to have fear. You got to have a vision. You got to see that soul in hell. You got to realize this life is so much more than what you and I look at. This is not it, folks. This is not it. And I want to say last of all, this morning you got to take action. The Bible says this, that some having compassion make a difference and others save with fear. And it says pulling them out of the fire. You know what we have to do? We have to take action. We have to pull them out of the fire. We have to keep on keeping on. We hold up Scripture side on the side of the road. We try to do something, whatever we can, to stop them and slow them down. We have to take action. I read about a little boy one time. He's about 6 years old. I got a blessing by this kid. I was thinking, Lord, give me some of what that little boy's got. And he had a dog, a little puppy dog. And his dog ran out in the road and somebody ran over and killed his dog. And he was wanting to do something. They'd been trying to put up a four-way stop sign out there where that little area was, Miss Rachel. Nobody could do it. Nobody could get it. And that little six-year-old boy had a picture of him. And he was holding up a sign and it said, slow down, one of you ran over my dog. You know what they did? They put up a four-way stop sign. You know what we got to do? We got to put up some stop signs. Try to keep people out of hell. And some having compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I mean, if we believe what we say we believe out of that Bible, if we don't, we might as well go home, close the church up. It don't mean nothing. But we say what we believe, we ought to be doing that. That ought to be a no-brainer. We ought to take action. There ought to be a fear. They ought to have a compassion. Like Brother Earl preached that last message, the last revival here, the last message he preached, some of you remember, it's called, Do Something. Just do something. The Bible said, Be ye doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving your own self. Just do something. Take some action. Get you one of these signs. I'll give you a sign. Go down to your nearest corner where you're at, where you live. Go out there and just stand on that corner. Just hold up that sign. I used to go to work in the morning. And as a little black girl, she blessed my heart. Man, she was probably in her 20s. She had an old poster board sign, Miss Martha. Just a poster board sign that she wrote. And it had a big heart on it. And she was standing out there smiling. She was in her 20s on Old Spring Road. It would say, Jesus loves you. That's all she did. You could do that. Everybody in here could do that. You could get you a chair. You could stand out there on the corner and just sit out there. Have a sign. I got one down there that says, Jesus cares for you. Jesus cares. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for your sins. So what is that? Taking. It sure would be better than just sitting there watching the boob tube. Do your eyes fall out, wouldn't it? Doing something for God. Walking through the store, going out there. Brother Ben gives out those tracts. What a blessing. Yesterday he said he gave out all his get out of hell free tracts. Sure would be a whole lot better than just wasting your time messing around, wouldn't it? Take action. Doing something. I was thinking, I did talk to Brother Bunk the other day. And you know Brother Bunk, he cracks me up. I'll be there now. You know me. I'm coming back, man. I done learned that 30 years of Bunk, but I still love him. I still love him. I said, Bunk, you're welcome. Just come when you can, Brother Bunk. Brother Bunk got saved, and one of his best friends, old Charlie Andrews, pastor's Glory Land. Charlie was president of the Devil's Disciple Motorcycle. He was a bad dude before he got saved. And Bunk couldn't witness to him. Bunk didn't know how, and Bunk was scared. Do you know what Bunk would do? He'd call up and he had some tapes by his pastor, Jim Trotter. And he'd call up Brother Charlie, and I remember Charlie telling me about this too. And he'd call, he said, "Hey, Charlie, I want you to listen to something for a few minutes." And he couldn't witness to him, Brother Ben, so he'd play those tapes of Brother Trotter preaching. Brother Charlie said, "I hated him when he did that." He said, "I thought that was the stupidest thing I ever heard anybody do. But you know what it did? It planted a seed." You know, that old boy's been preaching now for 40-something years, led thousands of people to the Lord, started that church over there. You say, why? Part of the reason, because of Brother Bunk just took a phone, called him up and said, "Hey, Charlie." He had compassion for that boy. Nobody, not many people did. I know people that knew that guy before he got saved. They didn't want to get around him. Had a fear of hell. You can see that soul, and he took action. He just get on the phone and said, Hey, Charlie, listen to this." Wasn't much. He couldn't preach. Couldn't even witness to him. But it planted that seed. Could go on and on and on. On and on and on. The Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Look into the mercy of Jesus Christ. And some having compassion, making a difference. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We got the key, don't we? We got the answer, don't we? We say we do. We say we sing it. I saw a thing on TV years ago, and I've never forgot this. I've used it before. It's one of the greatest illustrations I've ever seen in my life. And it ripped me up. It tore me up. I think about it all the time. And there's a black lady in Inslee over here. And she went in her house. She had a little baby in the house. And she was cooking something, and she needed some sugar or something from the neighbor next door. And she was going to run, had something on the stove, was cooking something. Her little baby was sleeping in the other room, and she went next door to get this Miss Martha just to get some sugar or whatever it was. And she went over there and forgot about the baby and got talking. Forgot about it. And the next thing, she's in the house, she's hearing, her house is on fire, burning up. And her little boy, he's 5 or 6 years, I said his baby is 5 or 6 years old in there. And she ran out there, and the little boy, that's what it said on the thing, she had one of those doors like we had at our house where it's a double lock. You got to have a key to get in and out. She had the door locked. And the little boy, he's about 4 or 5 years old, he is beating on the door of that door. And he said, "Mama, open the door! The house is on fire, Mama! Mama, get me out of the fire! The house is on fire!" And she didn't have the key. And she is crying in that thing. She says, "I didn't have the key! I didn't have the key! I didn't have the key to let my little boy out of the fire!" She is crying in that thing. Her little boy burned up. We got a key. We got the key to get them out of hell. But we got to use it. Just like that lady, that key did no good. She put it in that door. See what he's trying to say? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Having compassion. Some say with fear. Making a difference. Pulling them out of the fire. Our Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you this morning, God, for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the responsibility we have to pull them out of the fire. Thank you, Lord God, that I know that I'm saved. And I know that Bible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. The day you saved my old soul, 43 years ago, God plugged me out of that fire, God. Lord, I have been on cloud nine ever since, Lord. I've enjoyed it, Lord. And I pray, God, help me, Lord, to keep my eyes on you, to keep myself in the love of God and having compassion, Lord, making a difference and save others with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Help me, Lord, to do that above everything, God. That's my goal in life, Lord, right there, Father. Father, pray your blessing upon the message this morning, Father. Pray for the folks that weren't here that couldn't make it for whatever reason, Lord. Just pray your blessing upon the rest of the day now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.